Today, as we continue our discussion of the 13th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, which gives us the description of the kingdom of heaven, that is, what will be happening on this earth as far as Christian influence is concerned, while the Lord Jesus Christ is in heaven at the right hand of the throne of God. And as we continue our discussion today, we're going to look with you at the second parable that is explained in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. You will recall we told you there were seven parables. Two of them the Lord Jesus Christ explained in response to the request of the disciples. The other five, as we shall see, are to be understood on the basis of the principles of interpretation which were given in the two parables explained. We've already looked at the parable of the sower and the seed. Today, we want to look with you at the parable of the wheat and the tares. If you are able to follow in your Bibles, you will want to notice the 24th verse. Another parable put he forth unto them, saying, The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat, and went his way. But when the blade was sprung up and brought forth fruit, then appeared the tares also. So the servants of the householder came and said unto him, Sir, didst thou not sow good seed in thy field? Apparently the answer was yes. From whence then hath it tares? He said unto them, An enemy hath done this. The servant said unto him, Wilt thou then that we go and gather them up, that is, gather the tares up? And he said, No, lest while ye gather up the tares, ye root up also the wheat with them. Let both grow together until the harvest. And in the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, Gather ye together first the tares, and bind them in bundles to burn them, but gather the wheat into the barn. Now, that, dear friend, is the parable as it is recorded in Matthew chapter 13. We want to look briefly now at the interpretation which is given by the Lord Jesus Christ. So will you notice, please, verse 36. Then Jesus sent the multitude away and went into the house. Remember, I told you that that phrase is significant. He went into the house. That means that he was not talking to a great multitude of people, but was speaking to those who were his disciples, to those who were his own, if we might use a phrase that is common today, to those who were born again, who wanted to know the truth, those who really wanted to understand. I repeat, the phrase is one of the three we gave you when we first began the study of Matthew 13, out of the house, in the house, treasures new and old. Out of the house meant that he was speaking to the multitudes, representative of the great mass of unsaved people, and in the house indicated that he was speaking to the disciples, representative of all those who have received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. So he went into the house, and in verse 36, his disciples said, Declare unto us the parable of the tares and the wheat. Now, we heard you, Jesus, they said, but we just don't know what you mean, so explain it to us. He answered and said unto them, He that soweth the good seed is the Son of Man. We learned that in one of our previous studies when we were identifying the sower of the seed in the first parable. He who sows the seed, then, is the Lord Jesus Christ. But in this parable, we have some added information because the Lord Jesus continues, The field is the world, the good seed are the children of the kingdom, but the tares are the children of the wicked one. The enemy that sowed them is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world, and the reapers are the angels. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The Son of Man shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I want to remind you, at the very beginning of our discussion of this parable, though I don't know how far along we will get today in the discussion of it, I want you to remember that this paragraph that we have read has what I refer to as very definitely a Jewish flavor. So we need to watch for phrases that are related more to prophecy than they are to this present age of grace. However, we suggest, and we suggest to you again, that the entire chapter deals with the ministry of the kingdom of heaven from the time of its announcement until the time the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. We need to find out, then, the scope of this particular parable, that is, the period of time to which it refers, the period of time that it covered. Is there anything in the parable, we might ask, that will help us to understand the scope of it? We suggest to you that there is. You recall we read in verse 37 that the sower of the good seed in this parable is the Lord Jesus Christ, so we know that the starting point of our parable, from the time of Christ to the end of the age. The parable covers a period of time from the time of Christ to the end of the age. Now, the Lord Jesus said that the tares and the wheat would grow together until the end of the world. Look again there at verses 39 and 40. The enemy that sowed the tares is the devil. The harvest is the end of the world. As therefore the tares are gathered and burned in the fire, so shall it be in the end of this world. The tares and the wheat are to grow together from the time of Christ until the end of the world. Even though many folk think the world has come to an end for them, the end of the world has not come, or the end of the age, as we have emphasized. We are still in the midst of the period of time which is described in this parable. Let me emphasize that I am using the phrase the end of the age advisedly instead of the end of the world. The original text reveals that the words in our English text would be clearer if they were translated age. We remind you that the word end is a translation of the Greek word suntalia, which is also translated by the word completion. The word world is a translation of the Greek word aion, as we have already learned, which is also translated by the word age. So it's better to say the end of the age, or more accurately, listen closely to what I say now, or even more accurately, the completion of the age. For even though this parable does span the age in which we live, the thrust of the parable is related, as we shall see, to the completion of the age. Now, this particular parable describes a condition that will exist from the very beginning of the age until the very end of the age. And it's important for us to understand that. That's the reason that I am re-emphasizing it, even at the risk of repetition. It is our custom, or has been, as we have looked at the parables, to look at the subjects of the parable, we might say the characters of the parable. With whom does the parable actually deal? Well, we'll look at it first from a negative standpoint, and then we'll look at it from a positive standpoint. This parable, along with most of the others in this chapter, let me reemphasize, is not dealing with the church. Now, why do we say that? Here's the reason. In verse 24, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. In verse 38, we are told that the field is the world. So immediately, we can speak with positiveness that this parable is not talking about the church. We are talking rather about the world. When we talk about the tares and the wheat growing side by side, someone may say, you know, everyone in the church is not a real Christian. Everyone in the church can't be saved. Well, that's a misuse of language. Everyone in the body of Christ is born again. There is no other way to get into the body of Christ save by being born again. Well, someone may say, do you think every Christian you know is perfect? No, I don't. I'm not perfect. And I don't know, frankly, any Christians who are perfect. What I'm saying to you is that Christians are in the body of Christ. We're talking about the field in this parable from a negative standpoint, and so we say to you, it is not the church. So let us settle once and for all that we're not talking about good people and bad people in the church when we talk about the wheat and the tares. Rather, we are talking about saved people and unsaved people in the world, or in the kingdom of heaven. We're keeping in mind that the kingdom of heaven is the sphere of influence of gospel preaching. We recognize today, we should, that it's impossible for an individual to save himself. I trust you do know that. I trust you know that if you are saved, you're saved because God saved you in His grace. I trust you know that if you're ever going to be saved, you're going to be saved because you say to God, I am a sinner. I know I cannot save myself. There's nothing I can do. And then declare by faith, Christ died for me. And the best I know how at this moment, I accept the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ for my salvation. And I would like to close today with an emphasis on that particular thought. And I would like to encourage you, if you've never made a personal commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, to make that personal commitment today. Take your place as a sinner at the foot of the cross. Acknowledge that you cannot save yourself. And then in simple faith, turn to God and tell Him you do believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and you will receive Him as your Savior. And once that commitment is made, you have become a part of the body of Christ. You are among the wheat that the Savior has sown in the world. I am going to pray for you that you will make that decision for the Lord Jesus Christ today.